Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. Please open to your Bibles, Bible apps, your iPhone, iPod, MePod, ThePod, whatever, and go to the book of Amos, chapter 5. Amos, chapter 5, and it's a minor prophet, a little bit small, so you'll have some trouble finding it if you're new to the Word. If you're lazy, you can just look in your bulletin. It's in the front there. We're in Amos chapter 5. And I do recommend that you turn in your own Bible, because in your own Bible, you're able to write jots, tittles, notes, squares, and circles. I think that's very important. So, and while you're turning there, I just want to turn your attention to the bulletin. A couple of things in the announcements. I think it's on the third page, and Michelle talked about it at length, and that's the start of the Filipino Bible study / small group. If you are Tagalog or Bisayan or even Ilocano, you can participate in that, or a Gentile in general. And then further down in the announcements, we're looking for someone who can alternate with the PowerPoint to help out Tatsuaki. Tatsuaki is the young man who does our PowerPoint week in and week out. But when he's not here, we need somebody who can alternate with him and cover the PowerPoint duty. So if you're familiar with Mac and with PowerPoint and with Keynote, all of those things, would love to get your help on that. And also, we're on Facebook, so if you're on Facebook, become our friend. We would love to have your friend. Okay. I often say that this is a glimpse of heaven, because in heaven, there will be people from every tribe, tongue, and nation, including Ilocanos and Bisayans. And so, so happy to have everyone here at church, and welcome. Make sure that before you leave, to welcome our visitors today. Okay, we're in Amos, the book of Amos, and our passage is in Amos chapter 5. I'll be preaching from throughout the book, so have your pen and notebook handy. But we'll be drawing a lot from Amos chapter 5, verse 21 through 24. I'll read 21, 22, and 23. Please read with me verse 24, the last verse. Let's read it together. But first, let me begin at verse 21. Amos chapter 5, verse 21. This is the Lord speaking. I despise your religious feasts. I cannot stand your assemblies. And even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. Let's read verse 24. Let's read. But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. The very words of God. Amen. Well, I don't know that most of you have ever heard a sermon from the book of Amos. I don't think I ever have growing up. That's a very important book. A very important prophet, otherwise God would not put it in his Bible. So why are we in the book of Amos? I need to rewind a bit, and for those of you who have been with us for a long time, please bear with me as I do a little bit of review. We'll start with my son. My eldest is 4, my second eldest is 2, I have another one who's 3 months in 2 days. But my oldest is in what's called the superhero phase. He is into Kamen Rider. I don't know if you're familiar with Kamen Rider. He is a kind of a superhero with a mask, and the mask is the shape of a cockroach, a beetle, excuse me, a bug. That's one of them. And then there's the Ultraman, and then there's, in America, they're called the Power Rangers, but here they're called the Gokaija or the Gobustas. And they all come in various colors, shapes, and sizes. So that's the Japanese side of his superhero fandom. And then there's the Hollywood side of his superhero fandom. And everything is the Hulk, Captain America, Batman, and Spider-Man. Oh, daddy, daddy, daddy. Look, Spider-Man 3 is on TV. We have to go to the DVD store and get Spider-Man 2 and Spider-Man 1. And he's looking everywhere for Spider-Man. And if Spider-Man is nowhere to be found, he can still find him. He looks and there's a spider web. Oh, daddy, Spider-Man! Or he looks and there's some ropes kind of tied together in a playground. Oh, it's like Spider-Man, the web, right? And he's doing this. And, you know, he's jumping off of our furniture, and he's jumping, and he's doing the Spider-Man pose. And then I come home from work, I'm tired, and, you know, usually they come and, daddy, 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 and they give me a hug. Recently, I come home, close the door, tadaima, right at me. So there's no hugs, no kisses, just this. Okay, I get shot by Spider-Man. So that's where we're at. He just looks for Spider-Man everywhere. Well, that's what we're doing with our Bible this year. We're not looking for Spider-Man. We're looking for Jesus. We're on a superhero hunt. And I have no problem with superheroes because I believe in a superhero. I believe in one Superman who came. And long before there is ever the story of the Dark Knight, God wrote the story of the morning sun rising. And that's my superhero. And I can't help but when I read through my Bible, I want to see Jesus, whether it's the book of Genesis or the book of Revelation. I want to know about Genesis, or excuse me, about Jesus. That's who I came for, and that's who came for me to rescue me. And then Jesus said, after he rose from the dead in the book of Luke, chapter 24, around verse 45, he says, look, I came, I lived, I died, I was buried, and 3 days later I rose from the dead. And you don't get it because you didn't read your Bible the right way. All of that in the Bible, from Moses to the prophets to the Psalms, it's all about me. This is Jesus talking. So if you don't see Jesus, if you don't see the gospel, if you don't understand grace when you're reading your Bible, especially the Old Testament, you're not reading it right. I'm not reading it right. And so that's what we're doing. And so we're looking at the prophet Amos, one of the early prophets, and we're seeing, where's Jesus in this book? And so our subject for today is Jesus and Amos, the prophet Amos. Amos is what's called the so-called minor prophet, because his book is smaller than the big prophets like Jeremiah, Isaiah, and Ezekiel. But Amos, I preached on him last year, and I find him absolutely fascinating. I'll get into that a little bit later. But how do we find Jesus in the book of Amos? Where do we see him? And I did a lot of looking around, digging and searching. I was reading through it. And some of it is a bit of a stretch, I will admit. Some of it, you can find Jesus through images, glimpses in his book. Let me give you a few of them, if I can get this thing working right. Okay, that's way off now. Where am I? Okay, so in the book of Amos, we'll find various images of Jesus that some scholars, some Bible professors have talked about. One of them is the saving shepherd mentioned in chapter 3, where Amos talks about there is a shepherd who saves from the lion's mouth. Jesus in John chapter 10 says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And so some scholars have said, oh, that's Jesus. He's in the book of Amos. He's the shepherd who saves us from the lion's mouth. Satan has also carried the image of a roaring and a roaming lion looking and seeking those whom he might devour. And Jesus is the one who snatches us out from the lion's mouth. And that's an image of Jesus that we could find there. This thing. Oh, come on now. Can you give me one more down? Yeah. Oh, here we go. Thank you. That's too far. Okay, I'm going to need your help there, Tachanya. Just go up. Oh, there we go. All right. One more. Okay. Okay, press down two times. Okay, thank you. Another image of Jesus is the mediator found in Amos chapter 7, where Amos sees someone who is standing between God and man. God is going to judge Israel, and he's going to allow Assyria to come and attack them. And there is someone who stands between them and says, God, could you wait just a little bit? Okay. And he cried out to God. He cried out twice. And it sees, and some people say, that's Jesus, that's God. That's Jesus, the one mediator between God and man, through whom all of man can be saved. And that's an image of Jesus in the book of Amos. A bit of a stretch, if you ask me. The next one. There's an image there of an only son. We find him in Amos chapter 8, verse 10. I will turn your religious feast into mourning and all your singing into weeping. I will make all of you wear sackcloth and shave your heads. I will make that time like mourning for an only son. And we know through the annals of history, through the written word of God, that only son of God is him, Jesus Christ, that is presented to us throughout the New Testament. And then finally, one more. In Amos chapter 9, towards the end of the book, Amos talks about David's descendant. In that day I will restore David's fallen tent. David was the second and greatest king who ruled over a united kingdom of Israel and Judah, and it was all one kingdom. And he was wholly devoted to God. He was a man after God's own heart. And we all know, as I've preached before, Jesus is the greater David. David is a pointer to Jesus Christ, who who is going to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so these are pictures of Jesus throughout Amos. And for some of you, you're thinking, why do we even bother with this? What does this have to do with me? And I want to tell you directly and to your face, I want you to know most of these sermons that we preach from this pulpit are not about you. They're not about your life, and they're not for you to improve and become better people. I will say that again and again. The reason why you come to church, the reason why you get up in the morning and get yourself ready, the reason why some of you take trains and ferries and take hours to get here, the reason why some of you leave families at home and come here alone, the reason why some of you are devoting your whole day to coming here is not to hear about you. The reason why you come is to hear about him, isn't it? You come to hear and to learn and to grow and to love and to worship him, Jesus Christ. And any glimpse, any hint of his voice, you're waiting to hear. I was told a story a long time ago of a preacher who went to Africa. And he was preaching, and in Africa, he had a huge response. Thousands upon thousands of Africans would come to hear him preach about Jesus. And many of them would come again and again repeatedly. They would meet Jesus for the first time, be set free, be filled with the Holy Spirit, be filled with power, and receive new life. And they want to come again to hear about him. But the next day that they would come, there would be so many people that they could barely get close enough to hear the preaching. So they're so far away from the preaching that all they can hear is zur, 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 zur. But then, every now and again, the preacher would shout out, "Jesus!" And that person would be filled with joy. "I heard his name. I heard his name." And that's all I came to do, is to hear him, his voice, calling me. And that's why we're hunting for Jesus in the book of Amos. Now, this is a bit of a stretch, I will admit. But there's pictures, there's glimpses. But I think there's a better way that we can see Jesus through the book of Amos. And that's if you read throughout Amos, that's his life. There's parallels that you can find. Go ahead, Tachan. Give me down one more. Parallels between Jesus, the life of Jesus, and the life of Amos. Jesus is the original, and Amos is the copy. Now, Amos, I've gone over this last year, but let me go over it just one more time. Amos was what's known as a sheep herder, not a shepherd, but a sheep herder. He was a manager of shepherds. So he was kind of the boss of the shepherds. Shepherds were of like just kind of low level, bottom class type people. And so he was the manager of them. But also he was a businessman. He traded in sheep, but he also traded in agriculture. He took care of fig trees, sycamore figs, and he would commute about 10 miles from his orchards to his sheep folds and back and forth. And he was a businessman. He was not a religious man. He wasn't a holy man. He wasn't someone who grew up in church or grew up to be a pastor, but he was called by God. And then he was sent to the other half of his country. If you can imagine, he grew up in Kyushu, the southern island of Japan, and he was sent to Hokkaido, to the northern part, to preach God's word to the northern people. And one parallel that we see is that he was a shepherd who was sent by God. And we read in chapter 7, verse 14, Amos answered Amaziah, this is another priest in the northern part, "I was neither a prophet nor a prophet's son. I'm not a holy man, and my dad wasn't a holy man. I was a shepherd, and I also took care of sycamore fig trees. But the Lord took me from tending the flock and said to me, 'Go, prophesy to my people Israel.'" Amos was sent by God to go. I told you once this once before. A woman told me while she was having counseling with me, she said, "You know what, Pastor Chris, to be honest with you, my mother told me not to come to talk to you. She's a Christian. And she said, you don't need to talk to a pastor to help you with your marriage. Pastors, they live in their own little world. They live in this Bible world, and they don't really understand real life. So what kind of advice can he really give you? All he wants is for you to come to his church, listen to his sermon, and you give him his money, or your money. You don't really need to talk." That she told me this while we were in the middle of counsel. And I said, "Look, my dear child, I don't get any money for this. This counseling session, it's free. This advice I'm giving you, it's free. I have my own job, and that job provides me with all the money I need. I don't need any offering. I don't need any gifts. All of this is for free. Why? Because God sent me. He sent me, and I've come to do this for what he's called me to do. And why do I do it? Because of him who was sent to me first. He was sent by his Father. And he came and he said, I don't do anything on this earth except for what the Father tells me to do. And I came to live a life you couldn't live. I came to die the death in your place for your sins. And I came to rise to give you new life as I give it." And Jesus was sent to tell me that message. And as I embrace that message, I embrace it and I share it with other people. And I know that many of you are here for that reason as well. You're not here for what you can get. You're here because of what you've been given. Amen? You've been given eternal life. You've been given new life. You've been given hope. You've been given blessing upon blessing upon blessing. Oh, and God says, now you can go and give it. And that's a big parallel that we see between Amos and our Lord Jesus, is that he was a sent shepherd. Another parallel, if you could help me out, was the conflict between the religious establishment of that time. Amos was a man from the south, the kingdom of Judah, and he was called to go to the north kingdom of Israel. In the south, the capital was Jerusalem. And there you had the temple. And there you had the worship of God as God laid it out. And then there was the rebellious kingdom of Israel in the north. And the capital of Israel was Bethel. And in Bethel was another sort of temple. And there they had another, you know, just like a copy of what they had in Jerusalem. And Amos was sent to that city and said, "You guys are doing it all wrong. And so you're the priest. Your name is Amaziah. You have the robes. You have the hat. You have the gold that comes in from all the religious people. And you're the religious establishment. You have the priests all under you. And you're kind of the big, big holy man. And here comes this businessman from down south telling you, you need to stop what you're doing." And so he's saying, he's revealing to him, you're not as holy as you think you are. You're not under the will of God. You're doing it wrong. He's telling him the truth. And so the priest is now in conflict with him. And there's this whole religious establishment, this whole system of religion that Amos is coming up against in the northern kingdom. In the same way, Jesus Christ, when he came, he was coming up against a whole system, a whole hierarchy, a whole apparatus of high priests, of middle priests, of low priests, of holy men, of sacrificial systems, telling them, look, this whole system of money, exchanging money, I'm going to turn it all over. And you are a brood of vipers, you are whitewashed tombs, you are a bunch of hypocrites with all of your religion. God cares little about this because you care little about whom God really cares about, the poor, the helpless, the meek. And so that's what Amos is getting at this religious establishment. And Jesus does the same. Jesus says, I'm tired of church songs. I'm tired of fake worship. I'm going to get into that in a minute. But that's what Amos came up against, a parallel to Jesus. Another parallel that we find is that Amos was misunderstood and misrepresented. See, Amaziah, the high priest, thought, you're just a conspiracy theorist. You're just anti-government. You're just doing this politically motivated thing. And you just want your kingdom to, you know, it's like the conservatives against the liberals and the liberals against the... And he's misinterpreting all of this. He thinks it's all political and he's playing political games. And that's what a lot of people thought about Jesus. They thought Jesus was coming and he was all about usurping the power of Rome and establishing another kingdom. And Jesus said, no. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my followers would be out in the streets fighting you tooth and nail. But that's not the kingdom I came for. I came to die for my kingdom, not to conquer. And in dying for it, I did conquer. And so Jesus was misunderstood in that way. He was also misrepresented. He was falsely accused again and again. Jesus was the one who took false accusation for our behalf. I just want to encourage some of you out there. Some of you are being misrepresented. Some of you have people talking behind your back, whether it's in your family, whether it's people at work, people who were close to you. And they misunderstand you. And they think your motives are wrong. And they point their finger at you. And you know you're right. But no matter what you say, no matter what you do, you're being misunderstood. Jesus knows exactly what that is. And Jesus came to die for that. And Jesus came to take that for you. so that the anger and the resentment that you feel towards those people, Jesus came to take that from you. He did that. That's Jesus. And look, I want to encourage you to see how Jesus responded to his false accusations. I want you to see how Jesus took all the finger pointing and all the blame on that cross, and what was his response. I encourage you to read your Bible and see how Jesus took it all. That's what we find in the book of Amos. I think there's some parallels that we find. I want to close it up. You can look at some of the images of Jesus in the book of Amos. You could look at some of the parallels, the similarities between Amos' life and Jesus' life, and find Jesus. But I think the best way that we can see Jesus in the book of Amos is through Amos' overall message. Amos' message, his preaching, his theme throughout all his chapters in this book, I think, is the best way that we see Jesus. And the one place that we find that you can find that really contains all of what Amos is trying to say is in chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. And we just read that. And I just want to spend a few minutes looking at that. So if you can go down to the next slide. I think I got it there. Okay. This is the message of Amos, which is, I believe, the message of Jesus, and which is, I believe, why Jesus put Amos in his Bible. Amos' message is for you who have known church a long time. Amos' message is for those of you who know the church songs and know the Bible verses. You could actually say the Bible verses and say the Bible books and actually not feel a thing in your heart. That's me. I grew up, when I was a kid, I went to a small Baptist church, First Baptist Church, Redondo Beach, California. And during the big service, I would go down to the basement to the kids' service. And sometimes it was such a small church, I was the only kid there. And so I just took all kinds of liberties. The teacher, I can't remember her name. She would be going through, we would try to play a Bible trivia game. There's one person, me, and we're playing Bible trivia. And I don't really care. I'm just walking on top of the chairs, you know, playing all kinds of silly games with myself. But she's calling out Bible stories. And I could tell her chapter and verse where those Bible stories were found. I could tell her characters in those things. I could care less about them. I'm teaching my kids right now Bible stories. And I hope they get into their heart at one point. I hope the coin drops, you know, so they say. But Amos has gone to Bethel, and he sees amazing, amazing religion. Just like they have in Jerusalem, they've got a temple. Just like they have in Jerusalem, they've got an altar. Just like they have in Jerusalem, they have goats and lambs and bulls, and they sacrifice them, and there's blood everywhere. Just like in Jerusalem. And just like they have in Jerusalem, they have music. They have singers. They have guitar players and tambourines and drums and shouting and singing and hymns and PowerPoint. They have it all. Just like they have it. It's just all a copy. And Amos is saying, it's fake. It's fake. It's not authentic. It's not real. It's fake. Because why? Because these people go, and they go to this temple, and they do religion, and they pay God the money, and they sing the songs, and they go back to their lives, and they sin. They care nothing for the poor. They care nothing for the lowly. Israel at this time is very strong. It's very powerful. But from some of you who come from certain countries, the gap between the rich and the poor is very wide. There's the very rich, the very, very rich, and then there's the very, very poor. And those rich people, they're living it up. They're successful. They're glamorous. And God is on their side. And they go to church, and they pay God to bless them. And there's the people doing all the work. The poor, right? Are you familiar with the situation? Have you been to those places? Have you seen those people? Are you one of them? And so Amos sees this and he says, it's all fake. It's not justice. It's not authentic. And Amos is crying out, you need to repent. You need to change. It's all a facade. There's a story. I don't know if you're familiar. I'm from a place called Long Beach, California. And there's a big ship. It's called the Queen Mary. The Queen Mary is like the poor man's Titanic. It's a huge cruise ship, luxury ship from back a long time ago. And it had, I think, three or four big smoke columns. Right? From out of the engine room, the smoke comes out. And so now it's a tourist site. And so to keep up the tourist activity, they have to maintain the ship and they have to do repairs. And the year came when they had to finally do some repairs on the big smokestacks. There's like three or four of them. What they would normally do is they would just put a new layer of paint on the smokestack. And then when the paint got dirty, they would paint it all over again. And then finally they said, okay, this year, let's do it right. All right, let's take out the smokestack and then let's clean off the dirt all the way down to the metal and let's put new paint on there. So they did that. They get the big crane to pick up the smokestack. They pick it up and lift it out and they put it on the ground. Shaboom! And as they put it on, they set this big, humongous smoke tube on the ground. It starts to teeter and totter, and it just collapses. And it totally just crumbles to the ground. And what they found out was that over the years, instead of repairing and maintaining the metal of the smokestack, all they did was just paint over it. And so every year there'd be layers and layers of paint and there would be no more metal of the smokestack. And so it was just paint. And so when they finally took it out, there was no metal to hold it up. It just crumbled. It was all a facade. And my Bible teacher who told this story, he said, look, Bible people, church people, religious people are just like that. They live lives that are painted over with church and religion, but there's no repentance. There's no love for God. There's no Jesus in their life. There's no cross. It's fake. And Amos's message and Jesus's message is, I'm here to help you to be real, to be authentic. Some of us need to repent of our hypocrisy, me being the first. Look, this is hypocrisy. Preaching is by nature hypocrisy. I'm trying to extol a life that's a way above me. That's what it is by nature. But I will preach it because I know the one who lived a perfect life for me. There was one who was completely real. There was one who was fully justice. That was Jesus Christ. How can you be real? How do you be authentic? Where do you have the source to be authentic and to be just in all that you do? It's through Him, Jesus Christ. I mean, one last slide, I think. Oh, no. Excuse me. Let's go back up. One down. Okay. Amos says this. Enough of your rituals, enough of the music, enough of the religion. Verse 24. Let justice roll on like a river and righteousness like a never failing stream. Justice roll on like a river. That's an interesting word. I did some biblical theology, which just means I did a word study. And I looked up river. And what is the image of river in the Bible? What does the Bible talk about when it talks about a river? Something flowing, right? So I looked it up a few places, one down. In Psalm chapter 46, talks about there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. the holy dwelling places of the Most High. There's a river that comes from the city of God. What is that? What is that? And then in Zechariah chapter 14, and in that day, living waters will flow out of Jerusalem. Where does that come from? What does that mean? And so throughout the Old Testament, there's an image of a river of righteousness that flows from God. And finally, you come to the end of your Bible, to the end, a book called Revelation, the last chapter, the first verse, Revelation 22, verse 1. If we could go there. This is an angel of God showing John heaven, a picture of the last Jerusalem, basically heaven. And he says, the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great city. How am I going to be authentic? How do I stop being a hypocrite with my Christianity? How am I to be a real Christian? How am I to understand and to love and to be a man of justice and righteousness? You don't get it in yourself. You don't get to be right by your own works. You don't have the power. You don't have the ability. The source is not in you. The source of the river of righteousness is the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Does that excite you? That excites me. Because I'm trying to be real. I'm trying to be a real Christian. I'm trying to be authentic. And I fail so many times. And then I come to the cross. And in exchange for my hypocrisy, He gives me authenticity. And in exchange for my failure, He gives me His victory. And in exchange for my sin, He gives me forgiveness. And in exchange for my sorrow, He gives me joy. And in exchange for all of those stupid mistakes I made, He says, I'm here. I'm the source. I am the source. It comes from me. And then Amos says, let it flow. Let it flow. Let it go. And so that when somebody comes to me and they've failed me, and they've disappointed me, and they've hurt me, and they've rejected me, I come to the cross and I say, yeah, I'm going to give you the forgiveness. I'm going to give you the grace. I'm going to give you the love. I'm going to give you the attitude that God gave to me. And I'm going to be real. And I can be authentic. And I have the power to do that through Jesus Christ. That's what I find in Amos. That's Jesus Christ. Does that encourage your faith? I hope it does. Let that feed you for the week. That's our message for the week. Okay, I'm going to ask Adam and the rest to come on up, get us ready. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray mainly for our repentance before God, for our hypocrisy. And then I'm going to pray for our renewal, to be people of authenticity and to be people of justice before God. So would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we are grateful and we thank you. Oh, how you love us. Oh, how you love us so much. That through the cross, we have the source of the river of life in the Lamb of God. Thank you so much, Lord. Now, Father, I pray for those of us here who are hypocrites and we're sick of it. Father, we come to you once more through the cross of Christ. And Lord, we lay down our selfishness, our pride, our bitterness, our anger. We lay it down, Lord God. And in humility, we look to you once more for forgiveness and for grace and for mercy. And we thank you that you look to us with compassion and mercy. We thank you. And then, Lord, I pray for those of us who know the verses, who know the songs, but really have no heart for it. Father, in the name of Jesus, change us. Change our hearts. Help us to seek you. Give us new life. And let us live for you once more. Return us to our first love, Lord God. And Lord, if there's anybody here, Lord, who still does not know you, who still will not follow you, have mercy on us. Open our eyes. Open our hearts. Please remove the blinders. Help us to see Jesus Christ calling us by name. Lord, this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, would you all rise with me as we sing our closing song? How He Loves Us. Okay.
Jealous for me, loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of His wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. How He loves us. And He is our prize, drawn to redemption by the grace in His eyes. If His grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. And heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest. Have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way that He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves. Yeah, He loves.
Okay.